Please be seated. Before we pray, let's read a passage together. Listen to Nehemiah. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our law. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now this is the encouragement that Nehemiah gave to his people. And here it says that people, you will have strength, but how? The reason that you have strength is because you will have this joy. Oh, so if you receive this joy, then you will have strength in your life. You know that joy is something that we expect in everyone's life. So usually for normal people, you will want to see happiness in your life, right? Oh, that's why since young, you like to hear the story of the prince and the princess, and they live happily ever after, right? So having this wonderful life, happy life, is always something that we dream for, strive for, and wish for. But a lot of times, even after we believe in Jesus, we are not happy. We don't find this joy in our life. Sometimes we still live in sorrow, in agony, in trouble, in worries. And then you ask yourself, why? Why do I feel like this even after I believe in Jesus? Why? How come there are members who are so happy, always happy, whenever you see them? They don't have more. You know, when you look into their life, they don't own anything more than us. Their house is not any bigger. Their car is not any newer. Even their computer is not any nicer. But how come every time when you see them, everywhere you run into them, you see them happy and laughing and smiling all the time? And you wish, I want my life to be like this. We all want to have a happy life, don't we? And so the Bible in here, it teaches us how. How do you have a very joyful life? And here it says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Why? Why are they happy? Why are they joyful? Because in verse 9, "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites were instructing the people, say to them, 'This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep,' for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord." They were crying. That's why they have joy later on. Brothers and sisters, God's way is very fair. For those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's exactly what he said in the Bible. So, for those who want to receive joy in his prayer or her prayer, who want to receive joy and abundance in his life, you must go through a stage of weeping. You need to cry. And only after you cry, only after you know that you feel sorrowful, only after you come to the front of the Lord with this heart and cry over it in your prayer, then when you get up, God will grant you his joy. So, you know, sometimes I was thinking, I asked myself, and I think you should always also ask yourself too, when was the last time that you cried? Not for brothers. I'm a big guy now. I'm a macho man. Guys don't cry. Yeah, right. You know what? You really need to ask yourself, when was the last time I cried in front of the Lord? When was the last time that I cried in my prayer? Because if you think carefully, that might be the last time you feel that you are touched by God in your prayer. But nowadays, when we kneel down and pray, we pray hard, we don't sweat because of the air condition. I still remember the good times that when we were in Taiwan, no air condition. So after you pray, you can see a stain of sweat in front of you because of dripping everywhere. It feels good. I don't know, it's just different. It feels good. Now it's more comfortable. But you know what? You have to ask yourself, when was the last time you prayed so sorrowfully in front of the Lord to the point that you shed tears? Let's read a verse, huh? Let's read Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 8. Psalm 55, verse 8. Recall my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? You know that another translation says, put my tear in your wineskin. I like this one better. You know, I try to picture every time when we kneel here and we shed our tear because we feel, sometimes you have mixed feelings. But every time, I try to picture that every time when I shed tear in my prayer, and my Lord stand right next to me and collect all the tears, every drop of your tears, into this pouch, and it turned into a pearl. And this is my imagination, it's not in the Bible. But it feels good. It feels good that you know that God does care. When you are sad, you cry. When you feel guilty, you cry. When you feel that God touched you, you cry. When you cry, the Bible says that God collects all your tears. How sweet it is. You know, the reason that we don't cry, there might be many reasons. It's not necessarily because you sin, you don't repent. You know that a lot of times people cry not because they sin against God. There are many reasons that you cry. It could be because you sin, so you feel sorry, but not necessarily. So don't always repent. Sometimes we repent enough. We repent for 2 weeks already. You know that when you kneel down, don't think about repentance anymore. Think about God loves you very much. Think about how He embraced you in His bosom and tell you that, my child, I love you very much. That's what you think about. You know that after my daughter was born, Ariana, when she was a few months, I was sitting in the chapel, and I was thinking about my daughter, my heart cling onto her. I was thinking about her. It's just like it's part of my heart. I worry, I concern, I this, I that, I love her very, very much. But at this very moment, I say to myself, Lord, is this how you love me? I wrote that on my diary. I was crying when I wrote that on my diary. Because I said, Lord, this is exactly how you love me, if not more, right? Always worry, always concern. Even when he chastises out of love. Have you realized that he loves you very, very much? If you do, you will cry. cry not because you feel guilty, but cry because you feel that you are immersed, covered, embraced by this warmth of His love. Every time when I read the story of the prodigal son, when I read the father, I feel like to cry too. It's just a wonderful story, you know, that when the son come back, I can picture myself as this prodigal son, come back filthy, because I was feeding the pig earlier. Oh, feeding the pigs, got all filthy. And with this very uncertainty, I travel back, I decide to come home. Fear, unworthy, don't know what will happen, but I decide to come back anyway. And at this time, I saw my father from a distance, running toward me. How would you feel? Look at him. Father, you got more gray hair. Father, there are tears in your eyes because you worry. So you know what, brothers and sisters? You cry not out of fear. You cry not out of guilt. You cry because you know Him loves you very, very much. Let's come back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 12. Verse 12. Then all the people went away and eat and drink and sent portion of food and celebrating with great joy because they now understood the word that has been made known to them. You know that when we read the Bible, you need to picture how the people, they burst out in tears, sitting there, burst out in tears. Why? Because finally they find out the reason that their life were miserable. You know why they were miserable? Because they didn't know any better. Because in the past, they don't have the words of the Lord. So they don't know any better. That's why they were tossed back and forth among the nations. That's why their temple was destroyed. That's why their kingdom were annihilated. And that's why God forsook them. But at this time, when they suddenly realized, oh Lord, I now finally understand your words. You know what? Then there will be a great joy inside of your heart. Brothers and sisters, do not think that reading Bible is a boring thing. Do not just feel that you read Bible because you are told that you need to do it. You are forced to do it. You know what? If you really, really know how to read Bible, and you absorb like eating a delicious food, you take it in, into your heart, you will be very, very happy. Even if you have nothing, you will still be very, very happy. That's why you are here. You know that in here we offer you nothing other than a lot of hard times in prayer and sitting there for the class. Though we offer you nothing materially, but we offer you something that should be the best, something spiritually. On the mountain of transfiguration, Peter said, Lord, it's good to be here. Why? There's nothing on the mountain, no TV, no internet, and no video games. But Peter said, Lord, it's good to be here. Why? Because Lord is in here. Brothers and sisters, NYTS, I hope it does mean something different, something special to you. Many people found God, touched God in here. NYTS is the moment of their transformation in life. NYTS is the moment for my, I am a living example for me, for my life to be different. So I can vouch to you that God is here. You know that when you understand this, when you study the Bible, when you devote yourself to learn more about Him, then there will be a joy inside of your heart. But when you read Bible, please turn off your computer. When you read Bible, please shut off your cell phones. Sometimes you feel, hey, it doesn't matter, I'm just not answering. I have my Bible open. I have my Facebook account open. I have my MSN chat open. My QQ. Oh, you don't use QQ. I have my Google G-Talk. I have my phone, cell phone on. You tell yourself, I am not going to look at it. I'm not going to touch it. You know what? It's not going to happen. Every 3 to 5 minutes, you ask yourself, hey, someone call me? No one called me. Nobody loved me. Nobody left any comment on my Facebook. Poor me. How can you read Bible like this? You know what? You can spend half an hour sitting there and read nothing. And you know what? That's why after you read Bible, there is no joy inside of you. Nothing. Why? You have no idea what you are reading. Because your heart is occupied by something else. You can do that every single day and show no improvement. Zero improvement at all. Why? Because you never close the door behind you. I have a very, very special experience when I was in Africa. In Africa, sometimes we have nothing to do. Don't think that we are busy like day and night. Sometimes we have nothing to do. Because no internet, no TV, no computer, no nothing, right? So you find out, wow, so much time on hand. So for the first 2 days, I don't know what to do with my time. But then I learned, hey, I can read Bible. And suddenly, pastor, I can read Bible, huh? You know what? It never happened to me. This is the first time in my experience. I was sitting in my mosquito net, reading 4 Gospels. Nothing touching. Like, I was just reading what Jesus said. I pray Jesus perform miracles, this and that. Nothing special. Before I know it, my tears keep on rolling down. Keep on crying. I was like, what's wrong with me? Is that from malaria pills? I don't know. But my heart, there's just something pounding. I can tell you that the passage has nothing to do with it. But every word I read, I just feel that there's someone pounding, something pounding on your heart. And keep on telling me, God loves you very, very much. He wrote every single word. For who? For you. Keep on crying. Sometimes our life is too complicated. That's why we don't feel anything when we read the words of God. Try. Every day you go home, before you read about, you know, allow yourself, not too much time, half an hour. Tell yourself, this half an hour is no one but dedicated to God only. Computer off, cell phone off, everything off. And you know what? Do not kneel down and pray immediately. Don't think that you will just kneel down and pray for half an hour. For me, because you are still connected to what you just saw, what you just read. You know what? For the first few minutes, sing some hymns by yourself. No, you're not crazy. Sing some hymns. Calm yourself. Read some verses. Read some Bible story, Bible verses, to calm yourself down before you kneel down to pray. It makes a difference. Brothers and sisters, reading the Bible will make a difference in our prayer. Reading a Bible can bring joy into our life. Understanding the teaching of the Lord will truly bring us great joy. Try it. It works. Let's turn back to Nehemiah. You know what, before we go on to Nehemiah, I'd like to share with you a story. An encounter that I had, something that left me a very, very strong impression. There was once we traveled to a neighboring country in Africa. We traveled to Togo, a neighboring country, because there's some work there. And on the way coming back, the journey is probably like 8 hours on the bus. I don't quite remember it. And on the way back, we got a phone call. There was a truth seeker who really, really want to come and attend the service, but he doesn't know where our church is. He was from another village, so he had no idea where is anything. So on the phone, we told him that, you know what, don't come out too early. We are in a different country, so wait for us. Wait for us, and we will show you where to go. You know what, it took us a few hours to get to the meeting point, and then we found out that he has been there. And he was there since 6 o'clock in the morning, and we were there at 12. And when we saw him, I was like, Brother Solomon, what are you doing here? Why are you here so early? He was there like 6 o'clock, so he left his house at 4. Walking 2 hours to come to the bus stop, to come to the meeting place, and sit there and wait for us, for the good 5-6 hours under the African sun. So I feel so bad, because if it's in US, you do that to a truth seeker, you know what will happen? Either they will be gone long, long ago, or they will be very, very angry, furious. But when the truth seeker saw us, he said, thank God you are here. I've been waiting. Let's go. I was very, very touched and shocked. With his enthusiasm, after under the sun for good 4 or 5 hours, scorching sun, he inside burning hotter than the sun outside. He's like, I need to know the truth. I need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Take me to the church. At first, I was waiting to hear some complaints. Why so late? What's wrong with you? Why is this taking so long? No, nothing. Truth. I need to learn. I need to kneel down and pray. I need to pray for the Holy Spirit. I was very touched. I feel so embarrassed because that's not how I do it. You know, a lot of times I gave myself many excuses for being lazy, slacking off, not doing this, not doing that. And when I saw him, I was very, very embarrassed. I was a truth seeker. They would do anything to receive truth. You know, he was from a very rich family. In fact, he owns a church. I should say that his father owned a church, about 300-400 members. It's considered good size. His father was well known in the village. And you know what? In those kind of self-established chapels, the priest, the pastor, is the king, the chief. They can decide anything. And all the offering goes to their pocket. They can live very well. So his father told him, son, you need to, when I die, you take over this church. You know, the whole family depends on you because their family live very, 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 very comfortable. So that was his life plan. He planned to take over the church and become the next pastor and then continue the good life until someone preached to him. He was totally shocked. Once we talk about the baptism, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he was very, very astonished. And then he went back and talked to his father. And then they have a very, very bad argument over the truth. You know what happened? He left the church. He left his father's church. Later, his father died. And then all the family said, you need to come back. We need you. Otherwise, the member will scatter and we'll have no more income. No more income, He said, over my dead body, even I die, I will never go back there because there's no truth there. You know what he did, what he does for a living? You know what he does for a living? He goes to the factory in the middle of the night to sweep floor, a corn factory. You know that in Africa, people sleep very early. They wake up early, they sleep early. So so he goes to work around 9 p.m. until like 3 or 4 a.m. to sweep the floor for the entire factory by himself alone and get really little pay. He could just say, I'm going back to my father's church and live like a king there. But he said, no, even I die, I will never go back there because there's no truth in there. Can we do that? He said, I'd rather, when everyone sleeps, I'd rather stay up, sweeping the floor, getting really little pay. And you know what? When he came for the seminar, he paid it on his own money. On the bus. And one day, the second day, I saw that he was sitting there with a handful of coins. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I want to see if I have enough money to go home. Because this is everything I had. Oh, coins. That's everything he had in his house, in his place. That's all the money he had. And he's even thinking about, after the seminar, I need to go home and, you know, I will go sweep the floor again. You know, the brothers and sisters, we had it really good in terms of searching for the truth. You have this wonderful environment, cooking, you know, everything is provided for you. Out there, there are people who will do anything to get what you have. Are you happy and feel this great joy inside of you? Lord, thank you, I am here. You should. Let's look back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17. The whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. From the day of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites has not celebrated like this, and their joy was very great. The third way to have joy, what did they do? They heard the teaching. They realized their mistake. They cried over their sin. You know what they do? They carry out what they're told to do. Transformation, change, actions. Action is demand from any one of you and every one of you. So now you need to think. Last night we have a nice sharing. Think hard. After NYTS, what are you going to do? Please do not tell me I will turn on my TV and see how my TV, I record all the shows I missed. I need to catch up with the shows. Then you know what? You waste your time, a good 2 weeks in here. If your ideas, go back, post all my pictures and all my blog on the Facebook. You just waste a good 2 weeks in here. If everything you can think about is your Facebook, your chat rooms, your blog, your internet, your video games, the show that you miss, you know what? Sorry to say that, but you basically wasted 2 weeks in here. Because in here it says, how do you retain a new life? How do you enjoy this great, great joy? Is that you vow to transform. What did they do? They're here. This is the teaching of the law, to build a tent, to live, to celebrate the Feast of Tent. You know what? They do that immediately. How much longer do you want God to wait for you? How much longer do you think that God will wait for you? Remember, 3 years, then they cut it down. Do not test God on his patience and tolerance. So brothers and sisters, ask ourselves, what are you going to do? You are going to leave in a very, very short 2 days. You're going home. Ask yourself, what am I going to do when I get into my room? What am I going to do to show that, God, I want this great, great, great joy in my life, and I will do this to please you? What are you going to do? Brothers and sisters, joy, great joy, very great joy. You decide. That's all come from.